Welcome back to Daycare Diaries, y'all. Thank y'all for listening. I did say I was gonna start saying Dear Diary, right? So I'm not gonna give any more information about, you know, grants and funding on here. You can purchase the book on Amazon, The Grant Hunt. You have to type in Crystal Kernel and The Grant Hunt will come up. I lowered the price. I was told that's best to get, I guess, more sales. So it's an informational book that I do think a lot of businesses or business owners need. Again, grants are not loans. They are not end all be all. You know, they do assist with you know, payroll expenses, material expenses, but it's not end all be all. It's literally just a grant for you to assist you. So I wanted to come on and talk about something I've been experiencing lately. I feel like I'm, you know, sometimes in life you feel out of place. Like you know where you need to be, but you're not sure how to get there, or you're not sure if you're in the right place. For me, I know what my niche is. I've always known I love childcare. I've always loved children and education. I'm always open to learning, very coachable, very teachable. But I just never, like, as far as friendships and relationships, I've just never had luck with choosing the right people. And I think that had a lot to do with myself, because I was such a, first being a people pleaser, being in a stage where I was like just wanting to be nice to everybody, and I didn't want to say no, so I always say yes to things, and sometimes there were things I didn't want to do, but I knew would make the other person happy. And then going through a phase where it was just like, you know, my no stage, like no to everything, even if it was something that I could have done to help someone. And I'm not even talking about in business, because I always go above and beyond for my customers and the people that I service, but just people in my life that I know that I knew I started to realize that I should be saying no to. I started saying no to them, but I was still turn around and apologize for that. I was very apologetic for that no. Because even in saying no, because I knew that it was time for me to start saying no, I felt bad for saying it. Because I felt like, oh, hey, that's my friend. I should be able to say yes. Instead of thinking, you know, back to the reason why I said no in the first place. Because I know deep down that it's not something that I like. It's not something that I agree with. I'm just doing it because they want me to do it. And that's, I feel like as an adult, as a person, period, that's not a reason to do anything. If it's something you feel like is against what you believe in, or you feel like the person is not respecting you or your time, and you say no, then you stand on that. And a lot of times I hadn't. You know, like I said, trying to please the other person that I was friends with or in a relationship with. I'm in a transition. I will say pivotal. I'm in a pivotal time in my life right now, where I am fortunate to have met people who are like-minded, who are just as driven as I am, and who are finding themselves just as well as I am. And it's comfort in that. I find that I'm able to have mutual conversation. The conversation is not forced. Not that any of my old friendships were forced. I feel like the intentions of a lot of people weren't pure. And being someone who is intuitive, I know to a certain extent, I always know to a certain extent, but because in my mind I'm thinking, well, I don't have the facts about it, so I can't prove it, so it can't be true. And now I'm just kind of in the season where the first little bit of intuition that the first little bit of anything that gives me that you're going to be malicious or your intent is not pure, I'm not going to be around you. I don't even want to talk to you. Like, just leave me alone, because I'm on a high right now, and I don't need any bad energy bringing me down. I don't need any of that around me. I don't hate anyone, but I just don't want to be manipulated anymore. And I'm realizing I don't want to be manipulated. I don't want to be gaslit. I don't want to be lied to. I don't want to be, I don't want to do anything that I don't want to do anymore. That's just where I am. I'm happy with, and if that means me not having any friends, then I'm fine with that. But where I'm at, I don't feel like it's going to be like that now. I feel like I'm really around people with pure intent, in business, in school, in my personal life. And I'm really proud of that, because of for a minute, you know, sometimes when it's more than one group of people that have malicious intent towards you, or and it's always pointing a finger at you, like you're the negative somebody, you start to really feel like, you start to think like, wait, maybe it is me, you know? And so then you start to think, well, for me, I started to think, well, maybe I'm never going to find my tribe, my team of people, or my group of people. And so now feeling like I'm finding that, it feels good. It's refreshing, because now I know that it wasn't me. I'm realizing that it wasn't me. And I'm glad to know that. I mean, deep down, I knew it wasn't. But for a while, I'm saying to myself, well, you know, after blaming myself, like, you know what? Maybe it was me. And then being apologetic, like, knowing that I did nothing wrong. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm accountable when I do hurt people. I'm human. I do take accountability for when I do hurt someone. However, I do feel like the people that I have been hurt by don't take as much accountability, in or they don't see where they're wrong and would rather point the finger back at me than to understand where they went wrong. And I used to care about that a lot. It doesn't really matter to me as much now. Because now I know, like I said, that I was right in feeling how I was feeling and thinking how I was thinking. And so that goes in just choosing people in your personal life, back to the whole, title of this pod. Choosing people, is important to have, people around you. My mentor, Spectacular Smith, says proximity is power. I don't know if those are the exact words, but having the right people around you can really change the way you are as a person. If you always have people around you, and that's not in your personal life, just in your personal life. Knowing who you are will also help you choose your team, that your employees. So if you know, and not only, because you got to realize too, which I've learned, let me tell you, I've always had a hard time hiring people. But as of lately, having the staff that I've gotten, I've learned to hire people for what they are. And that's just how you have to take people in general, not just employees. You look at people for who they are, and you take them for who they are. That doesn't mean that you have to have a relationship with them. That doesn't mean you have to be friends with them. That doesn't mean you have to hang out with them. You take people for who they are. And so when I'm hiring people, I hire people for who and what they are. And I'm not looking at them as just a body. I also pay attention to the things, though I do need, when you're hiring somebody, think of where I notice, how can I word this? Because I was this person. I was so desperate to have a staff because I needed help. I would just hire somebody who had the experience with working with children, but didn't really, we didn't really click as a team. And clicking as a team is important as far as communication is this person a visual learner? When you're training your staff, can they learn through you just telling them what to do, or do they need a PowerPoint? You know, knowing that these things about your staff will help you give them more direction. Can they handle a lot of work at once, or do they need little bits of pieces of work at a time? And I think that's important to know. What things are they dealing with in their personal lives that may affect the job? And I know sometimes people think, you know, well, that's none of your business. I'm not saying that they have to go in detail and tell you their whole life story, but it's important to know. For instance, I had a young lady who I hired, and she was finishing high school, but she was also going through some things at home. And I didn't know. And I'm just thinking, you know, she's just coming in and she's just showing up late, more days than I like to, because I needed her assistance. And so she didn't tell me, but I didn't know until I actually had a staff meeting, and actually had a lady from another agency who was doing like a case study with us for 6 weeks. And we got to talking about it, and she ended up saying, you know, I'm having these things going on at home, and I'm about to graduate, I need to finish school, and I'm a little overwhelmed. And that's when I said, well, do you need a break? And so now I start to think, okay, so I give my staff mental, you know, breaks or mental days, where they're allowed to take, you know, time off if they need a mental day. And I think that's important, especially when working with in the field that we work in. It's important to have a day where we just are able to have a break, a mental break. And even if it's 1 or 2 days and it's not considered a vacation day, it's a paid day, and they do get a mental break. But just knowing your team and having that relationship with your team is important. I think personalities, knowing what personalities you need. So if you're somebody who's not organized, you need somebody who's organized. If you're somebody who can't communicate, you need somebody who's capable of communicating. And you'll be surprised with how it works, because I finally figured it out, and it's going well. Like, I'm still learning how to... Everything's just new, and I'm excited to be learning how to do these new things, because now I know going forward, I won't ever have to relearn it. It's like, yes, I'm getting it. It's exciting, but at the same time, it's like, don't F this up. Can I say that on here? I never want to cuss on here, but that's just exactly what my thought is. Like, don't mess this up. And so that's what I think all the time. Like, don't mess this up with your attitude. Don't mess this up with your responses. And then when I feel like that's what's happening, I try to step back. I'm more now conscious of my responses and actions. So now I'm like, step back, and I'm like, okay, how can I approach this situation? So instead of where I used to be, just straight up say whatever comes to my mind right there on the spot, I'm more reserved. I will step back and I'll say, even if it takes me until, because I have meetings on Fridays, even if it takes me until Friday to say, hey, something at the staff meeting, hey, listen, on Monday, I was this way and I didn't appreciate that and this and that. This is not working for me. How can we fix that? And just giving, I think, as an employee to an employer or a team member, we should be able to have those conversations, because even though you are, and also there's a level of respect, because at the same time I am your boss, but you know, I need you to run my business the way I want it to run, or I need you to do this so my business runs the way I want it to run. So I want us to be able to make decisions that will make it run easier, and you need to be a part of those decisions. And knowing that, and voicing that to employees, I think that they feel respected, you know, feel like, okay, I do have a say so. And if I don't agree with something that they're saying, I always tell them why. I don't just say, oh, well, that's dumb. No, we're not doing that. we're going to do it my way and that's it. No, I tell them, well, according to this regulation, this is why we can't do that. And, or a lot of times, which I've gotten recently with my staff, they're fairly new to the field. And so they don't know a lot about scenarios that could, you know, like what could happen because they haven't experienced much working in the field. Very good employees, really good with the children, really good with following directions. But they're fairly new, so they're not aware of things that could happen, could possibly happen. And so because I've experienced them, when they do bring it up, I tell them, well, you know, a parent could do this if you do that. And then they're like, oh, yeah, well, I didn't look at that. Look at it that way. Well, maybe we could do it the way you plan. Or maybe we could do it this way instead of that way. Or maybe we could maybe later on do this. And, you know, so it opens the floor for them to give more ideas. And it works. So, again, it goes just back to finding a team and your, what my mentor would say, your tribe. I think it's very important to be conscious. I think as you're older, as you become older, it's important to have the right people around you. I feel like when you reach a certain age, it's just, the nonsense just becomes heavy. It's just not worth having the weight of unnecessary people in your life. People that don't bring, and I'm not saying money, I'm not saying a physical interaction. I'm saying people that bring you genuine joy. Genuine interactions. There's no point in having anybody around you that's not giving you that. And so I just wanted to say that. I'm just in a, like I said, I'm in a pivotal time in my life, and I'm very pleased with the way that it's going, and I'm hoping that it stays this way. I'm trying to like speak things into existence so that I can continue on the right path and I can continue doing things the right way. I'm just hoping that things stay that the way it is. I'm happy. I feel free. I feel at peace, honestly. And that's a feeling like I feel like I've been waiting for a long time. So I'm going to wrap it up as I do have a class. And thank you all for listening. And I'll speak to y'all in the next one. Have a good week. Okay, so to add on to what I just said, I wanted to provide some tips. So his three tips to choosing your team or tribe in life and in business. So define your values and goals. Before you start looking for your tribe, it's important to define what's important to you and what you're hoping to achieve in life. You know, I feel like this will help you narrow down the types of people and communities that you align with, the type of people and communities that align with your goals and values and aspirations. The second one is be proactive in seeking out opportunities. Building a tribe, I know it takes effort and it takes a lot of intention. You want to look for networks, events, networking events, online communities or groups, again, that align with your interests and values. And don't be afraid to put yourself out there like I was, because you think that you're going to, you know, be the bad person in the group or nobody's going to like you. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there and initiate conversations with people who share your passions. And the third one is focus on quality over quantity. This one is a big one for me because I see a lot of people who will know that the person is not really a good person and they're like literally terrible, but the aesthetics of the relationship or the friendship or the business a dynamic, it looks good, so they will keep the person around. And it's like,
no. It's like, what? So it's not about having a huge network of people or a good look, but it's rather about finding the right people who will support and challenge you. You want to look for people who bring out the best of you, and who can learn from you, and who you can learn from, and who will push you to grow. Who's not about, you know, just, this is so big because I've been around people who just do not have any interest in seeing you grow. They will pick and suck the life out of you before they see you grow. They won't do anything to help you get to the next level in your life. Nothing. I think it's important also to remember it's better to have a small, tight-knit group of supporters than a large group of people who truly don't have your back because of that. And those are my three tips. Again, have a good week. Speak to y'all next time.